Good evening. Thank you all for being here. This is going to be a little bit different than we usually do, but in the process of trying to appoint elders, Jeff has done a great job of presenting the lessons and the qualifications of elders. Mike and I appreciate that so very much. If you weren't able to hear those lessons, take time to check them out online. We were about to ask the congregation to recommend men that they believe are qualified to serve as elders here at Jordan Park. And we thought it would add some depth, some richness of understanding for us to provide an elder's perspective on the office and the appointment process. And we hope this will be of help to those men who may be believe that they're qualified, and their wives and their children, and for every member who will be submitting names, and those possibly who are thinking about this in the future. I hope this will be helpful to you. There are two main passages I want to talk about this evening that will bookend my thoughts. And one is an exhortation of Paul in Acts, the 20th chapter, when he is speaking to the Ephesian elders. He says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." The image of an elder is that of a shepherd. I like this picture because here the shepherd is among the flock. He's holding one of the little babies, and he appears to be happy. And that's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing. He appears to be satisfied with his job and enjoying his job. And so the image, the picture of the eldership is one of a shepherd. Mike and I are not members of a board of directors. That's not the job. We are not CEOs of the corporation, which is the Jordan Park Church of Christ. We're not part of the club that is the eldership. That's not the way it works. The eldership is a work. And it's a work that we have agreed to do. It's a work that you have asked us to do. And we're carrying that work out as shepherds and stewards of the flock of God. And so let's talk about how the elder should view the flock. First of all, they are God's. You are God's people and not our flock. We don't speak about the church being our church. It is the church of Christ. It is the people of God. It is the household of God. They are not our, you are not ours. We are entrusted with oversight. And the church, the flock, needs leaders who are led, who are themselves led. So we are leaders, but we are also led by God. I really appreciate Brother Kaysen. He would always talk about a TLA. What's a TLA? A TLA is a three-letter acronym for three-letter acronym. And the TLA that he liked the most, which is BCV, right? BCV. What's the BCV for this principle? What's the book, chapter, and verse? And I think that's a great way to look at it. We are led by God through his word. It's important for us to view the flock as a group that we enjoy being a part of. We must enjoy being among the people. Think back on that picture that I just had up there. Here's the shepherd standing amongst the flock. In other words, when you see shepherds, they're not on a horse whipping the sheep to go someplace. They are among the flock. And you must enjoy it. And you really, to be a shepherd, to be an elder, you kind of have to be a people person. You have to enjoy being around people because that's part of the job. But when we view as an elder, you need to view the flock as those people who need protection. We need protection from those who would seek to harm the flock. Now, some people may not understand that what they're saying and what they're doing, what they're teaching, is harmful to the flock. It may be unintentional, but that's where we are responsible in our wisdom to understand that what is taught is the truth and to make sure that it's the truth. We cannot be apathetic about the teaching of falsehoods. That cannot go on. We cannot say to one another, well, they have a good heart, they have good intentions. That can't be the way we decide what is allowed to be taught in the congregation. What is taught here must be the truth. We cannot be apathetic. Christians need nourishment, just like the shepherd who leads the sheep to the green pastures and still waters. We must be about providing nourishment. If you don't eat, you die. So we must be about providing that nourishment. And the reason that we need nourishment is because we want this congregation to grow. We can only grow in wisdom and knowledge and spiritual understanding and if we're eating from the truth. We're taking that in. We're taking that bread of life in and growing by that. So the flock needs nourishment, and we have to understand that it's our responsibility to make sure that that happens. We don't have to teach every class. We need to make sure that the truth is being taught. Christians need discipline. This is a difficult thing. This is a difficult part of the job. But Christians, all of us, live within a corrupt and fallen world. We can't get out of the world. And from time to time, Christians succumb to that and fall into sin. And we need discipline. Sometimes it's just doing some things that are not wise. Sometimes we're not following a way that would lead to our well-being spiritually. And it's the elder's responsibility to make sure that discipline occurs. It's just like in your family. Things will not go well if you allow children to run the family, to be heads over the family and to govern the agenda of the family. And you've seen this. All of us have seen this, where some little two-year-old is the head of the family. That can't occur in the Lord's church. We must be a part of discipline. And if that seems very difficult to you, and it is difficult, but if it seems too difficult for you, then maybe you don't have what it takes to be an elder. Unfortunately, not yet. Discipline is absolutely required. But also, rest is required. We've had some troubled times, especially recently. And in those troubled times, the elder must lead the flock to those green pastures, to those still waters, and be the calm voice of reassurance in difficult times. We must do that. That's part of the job. So the congregation, the people of God, they need rest. Well, what can you expect if you become an elder? There are some things, again, I've been an elder for about 15 years now, and Mike's been an elder for 10. And so one of the things we wanted to do in this was to provide to you some things that we've experienced to be aware of if you decide to become an elder, if you're chosen, appointed an elder. First of all, one of the things that surprised me, I wasn't any different as soon as I became an elder than I was before, but almost immediately I gained some respect from people. And the reason for that is, really, it's a good thing, and it's in line with Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5. If you look over there, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, starting, it says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish them, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." The brethren do that. It will be surprising to you if you become an elder that immediately you will gain some respect. But that's exactly what brethren should do, because the work's sake, the work is important. And what I have found in this congregation is that I get a tremendous amount of support, just a tremendous amount of support from the congregation for our work. And I think Mike could say the same thing. We all have gotten a very good amount of support, especially in the last little while with all that's going on. We've gotten a good bit of support, and we appreciate it very much. But you will gain that almost immediately. You'll get more credit and more blame than you deserve. Can I get an amen, Mike, on that? It's like being president, if you will. You know, when the economy is doing well, the president gets credit for that. But he didn't go out and make any of those jobs, and he didn't start any of those businesses. At the same time, when the economy goes sour, he gets a lot of blame for things that he never really even did. And that's kind of the way it is. That's just part of the job, and that's okay. 5-minute meetings take about an hour. So my wife said, I might be watching a basketball game. You watched a basketball game, and there's 5 minutes left. And she says, how much longer before this game's over? You ever watch the end of a basketball game and there's 5 minutes left and both sides have 4 timeouts? It's like an hour and a half or something. Anyhow, so it's kind of a joke. It's sort of like a joke. I just got 5 minutes. 5 minutes, I need 5 minutes. And sometimes that'll end up being longer, but it's usually very productive. We're not always just telling jokes during the rest of the time. But 5-minute meetings, there's a lot of meetings in that like that. One of the things I wanted to let you know as an elder, that you'll be surprised by the brethren, for bad and for good. You'll be surprised, and when you say, you might think to yourself, I never thought so-and-so would do whatever. You'll think to yourself that. Let me remind you of what James says. To him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. The definition of sin is kind of, I know what I ought to do, but I don't do it. So the members of the congregation will surprise you in that regard. That's for the bad. But also for the good, members of the congregation will surprise you. You'll see a young mother. She's got several children. She's helping out babysitting with other folks. She's taking food to sick and the needy. She's volunteering to teach a class. You see a young man or young woman growing in their grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, making good, mature comments in class. You'll see a young man take part in serving the Lord for the very first time, doing a great job. You'll see a widow of modest means asking what she can do to help the brethren around the world. And you'll see someone who's been astray for a long time come back to the Lord. If you take the job, you need to learn to take joy in these things. Because after all, these are the things that bring joy to the angels in heaven. And it's what makes the job worthwhile. You'll get a call sometime to help some struggling brother or sister in Christ with a very difficult decision that they need to make. You'll pray to God, and He'll give you what you need to tell them. It happens. He tells us to pray for wisdom, and He gives it. That's part of what you can expect. Now, as for the wives, oops, sorry. Missed one thing, didn't I? I've got to go backwards. I'm not going backwards. Oh, got to go backwards. Here we go. the sixth thing I wanted to put in here was that Mike and I will happily welcome you to work with us as peers. When I was appointed, I was 49 years old, and my brother Herschel was almost 40 years older than me. But the message from Herschel and Benji and all the other fellows and Don and all those fellows who were serving as elders was, there are no senior elders. We don't have a chief elder here, and we never will. We are peers. We are joint participants in the work. Your wisdom and your opinions are valued just as highly as any other man. So that's something you can expect. Okay, for the wives, your husband needs your help. He needs your friendship, your loyalty, your good advice, your insight, your comfort, and your strength. He will be depending on that, if he's not already depending on that from you. Your faithfulness, wives, is one of the reasons, one of the main reasons, why your husband is qualified. Remember that. Cherish that. You will not like this, probably. You will not like the attention that you gain by being the wife of an elder. But your example to other wives and mothers is priceless. It is priceless. Also, you won't like this, but you will feel the pain of criticism much more deeply than your husband does. That's just the way God made you. And that's perfectly fine. For the children of those chosen, again, your faithfulness is one of the reasons your father is qualified to be an elder. Value that. Appreciate that. Hold on to that. Understand that your faithfulness is very, very important to your parents and to the church. And also, your example to other children is priceless. Now, so you probably may have already asked Mike. I know someone has already asked me. Who do you think we ought to put up there? Who is qualified? And I'm going to tell you who. Not the names, but I'm going to tell you the kind of characteristics that both of us are looking for. First of all, I'm looking for someone who's already a worker in the kingdom. They've already balanced out their obligations to be a father and probably have a secular job, to be a husband, and to be involved and already currently involved in the work here at the congregation. A person who is a deacon, for instance, is working towards that. If you think you're too busy, you can be too busy. There's no question about it. But if you think you're too busy, and I can't just add on one more thing, I just ask you to do this. Look at what your wife is doing. She's already doing it. She's already multitasking. She's a wife. She's a keeper at home. She's a mother. She's all the three of those things if you're qualified to be an elder. She might even be a grandmother. She might be a teacher of Bible classes and all the other things that we talked about. She might be doing all of those things. So if you think you're too busy, look to your wife. She's already multitasking. We're looking for someone who is still a student of the Word. In other words, we haven't got it all figured out just yet. We're still learning. We're staying in the Word. We're learning and we're growing in wisdom and understanding. We're looking for somebody like that. We're looking for a disciple of the Lord, one who's devoted to Him and to following Him, and not one with their own agenda. Not following my own opinions, but how is the Lord leading? I'm a disciple of His. We're looking for one who is, again, already a servant of God's people, and serving in a very sacrificial way, not serving for the for the ability to say, I am of this, holding this particular office, but one who is already sacrificing for God's people. And finally, Mike and I are looking for a partner, one who can partner with us and any other elders and join together in this very, very important work. Those are some of the things that I wanted to mention. I want to mention to you one last passage, and that is from a passage that Jeff already mentioned in going over the qualifications, and that is 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 4. The elders who are among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. I really like that last part. But one of the things, as I mentioned before, about multitasking, here is a man, Peter, who was an evangelist, who was a holy apostle of God, Christ, and he was an elder. He was a husband and a father, but he was an elder. He served those offices well. He did it not because he was made to do it. The Lord doesn't want someone who is forced to become an elder because they meet all the qualifications. You must desire the office. So you do it not by compulsion, but willingly. And you become an example to the flock. And although I don't really think that I've ever served because of that last line, receiving the crown of glory, I don't think I have. Looking back on my mind in all good conscience, I don't believe I have ever thought about it that way. I really have always thought about the needs of the flock as in God's way. As Jeff mentioned this morning, it's God's pattern. But that's a great thing to think about. It's a great responsibility. It's a big responsibility. But the church is important. Y'all are important. To be a part of this church is one of the greatest things, to be a part of God's body, God's kingdom, body of Christ, is one of the greatest associations, relationships that we can have on earth. But in order to be a part of this flock, you have to become a Christian. Perhaps you're here and you have not become a Christian. What it takes is belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, your willingness to repent of your sins, to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to be buried with him in baptism, and to rise and walk a new life, which means that your life changes, which means that you can't go back to the old life. You have to have a new one. And if you live faithfully your entire life, you'll be given a crown of righteousness. That's what's promised to us. But you have to do that to be a part of the flock, to start the process, if you're a young man, to becoming an elder or becoming a leader in the church. Or if you're a young lady, to start the process to being the wife of a leader in the church. Perhaps, though, that you've been a member, but like some, have wandered from the flock. Jesus has several parables about that, about those who wandered away. He wants you back. We want you back. If you wandered away and gone astray from the flock, not done what you ought to do, we are encouraging you to come back, to pray that the thought of your heart might be forgiven you. We'll pray with you tonight. If you're subject to that gospel call, we ask you to come now as we stand and sing.